I just wanted to recall a few issues we have already discussed in the beginning, actually, by Stefania, who gave a great talk on flavor things. What is this? So I discussed a few things on anomalies we have in the flavor sector, and I wanted to recall. So this picture is the North Area CERN, and I wanted to just make everyone aware that there is this experiment, which is NA62/2, which is the second iteration of this experiment, which is starting. They had a commissioning run last year, and they promised at Morion that next Morion there will be the first K+2, π+ in the bar measurements. So this is really now getting very serious. And they expect actually one candidate per month, so it's not bad. Okay, so then one thing which wasn't mentioned either in the first session was there was a long-standing, I mean not a long-standing, but a few years of discrepancy in this observable, which is delta ACP, which is the, so this is an experimentally driven observable, because in the CPS image you have several contributions, and if you take this difference of d or d0 bar to kk minus the 1 to pi, you have a purer measurement of CPS symmetry. And there was, by LHCb, this measurement of minus 0.82 of plus 1. So this is a 3.5 sigma effect. And this is not expected in CHARM. In CHARM mixing, CP violation mixing is very slow. There's very little CP violation in the standard model. And so this was, I think, quite a few people were quite excited about this. But the measurement which was shown at Morion was it is now minus 0.1, so it went down a lot, and the data sample is much bigger. It was 0.6 before and 3, so the overall agreement between these two measurements is not so bad, actually. So this went down, so this is not an anomaly anymore. I just want, because it wasn't mentioned, I just wanted to put on this slide the anomaly of G-2, which is this theoretical prediction and this measurement here, and there will be a new experiment coming up at Fermilab to have a better measurement.
So on the CHARM, is the difference really the most interesting between these two, or not the individual ones?
The individual ones have several contributions, and to, yeah, I think yeah.
You would also want to look at the individual ones. No? I mean, even the individual ones are not supposed to be.
Even the individual ones should be small. Yeah. So this was the measurement.
The experiment is bigger.
Yes, exactly. The experiment is systematic, because all the systematics from identification efficiencies, acceptance, cancel in the difference. So that's why they take the difference. I think it is more sensitive. But of course, even the individual ones, you want them to be zero, yeah, or very small.
But some contribution cancel in the difference, right?
Not sure for CPI symmetry, is it? Because you have really the D0 to 1. Yeah. I don't think so, but I can have a... Yeah, we were waiting. And
no, sorry. I
look it up until tonight.
I'm sure. Was the 3 including 0.6?
Yes. Okay, yes, so the 3 is the full sample.
Their newest measurement is a little bit positive in that case.
It is probably a bit positive, yeah. But they didn't give out the 2.4.
Well, they also reprocessed.
So it could be the result of the point.
Oh yeah, the 0.6 might change as well. Yeah,
things can change a bit.
Okay, B2 mu mu. This was said already. This was shown. So of course we have a measurement of this CMS LHCb combination, which is put down here in good agreement with the standard model. So the B2S to mu mu is 1 sigma below. No, of course completely compatible. The B2 mu mu is a bit high compared to the standard model. The standard model value is smaller. It is much smaller than this, actually, but because FD over FS is larger, the actual difference is a bit smaller than what is just proposed by the CKM matrix elements. So this came out, you see, 4 with a large uncertainty, and the standard model is 1.1 × 10⁻¹. So Atlas has finally also finished their analysis. Took a long time. Also because the result came out a bit unexpected. So there was a lot of scrutiny put into this. So the analysis is actually very, very similar to the one in CMS. So BDTs to fight against the continuum background. There's also a BDT to fight fake backgrounds and the fight peaking backgrounds. So this is B2 π π, for example, which would be a peaking background. And this is actually quite powerful. So here this is a very nice feature of this analysis, which has very, very low peaking backgrounds. The overall expected significance of this measurement is less than CMS, because we have, of course, weaker magnetic field, so the resolution is a bit worse. It is 3.1 sigma in this analysis, expected significance, and it's, I think, 4.6 for CMS alone. So you see the results. These are so then there's a BDT, and in each BDT you fit the mass, and these are the highest significant BDT bins, and this is there's basically no signal. And it seems to look, so if you look at, actually, I didn't show it, but the next third least significant BDT bin does have a little bump. Of course, the sensitivity in this bin is much less, so you don't expect the bump to be there. But maybe we were a bit unlucky with the fluctuations of the data. In any case, the result is 0.9, so it's sitting here. The actual fit result, if you leave everything free, is negative. But then if you fix it to a positive, you come out here. So you the overall, in this two-dimensional plane, the overall compatibility with the standard model point, which is very well known, is 2 sigma. So if you then average with CMS, so you can do a Gedanken experiment average, the overall average will be a bit low. So this was already 1 sigma low, but certainly not significant tension, but it's something to see how this develops. So then this is some, of course, a measurement which Stefania has already discussed. So I don't need to go into any details. It's been shown many, many times in the BS B2K star mu mu. These are these type of diagrams where you can have, for example, this type of SUSY loop, but we have learned on Monday that basically in SUSY you need to have so low masses that you get into lots of conflicts with direct searches, so that's very difficult. So what the experiments often do is they measure, actually it's an 8 independent average observables, it's a complicated fit, but then they take ratios. For example, this P5 prime ratio, which takes the S5 coefficient over the longitudinal polarization, and so this then cancels effects from form factors. So it's very useful to do this because then the theoretic uncertainties in the end are better under control. And so then you have this Q square dependence. Q square is the invariant mass of the dimuon system. And you have these discrepancies here. Of course, the theoretic uncertainty of the standard model prediction is there's non-perturbative, long-distance physics involved here. And so it's hard to do this in a rigorous way. There was a new measurement from Bell. This just came out last week. They have less statistics, of course, in LHCb. So they have these black points, which compare with these LHCb points in good agreement, but the accuracy is not the same. So I don't think we necessarily think there's an experimental problem here, but one has to understand whether maybe the theory can move their points up. There is also a differential branch and fraction measurement in LHCb, BS to phi mu mu, where they, as a function of this Q square, and they see also discrepancies with standard model prediction. But here again, there's a logarithmic effect. I'm only showing the plot which has discrepancies. There are lots of others which don't. Very bad style. So then these very interesting flavor anomalies here, which are theoretically extremely robust to predict basically lepton universality violations, which are of course zero in the standard model. So you have the d star tau nu, d or d star tau nu over d or d star l nu, or this r d star or r k b plus 2 k plus nu mu, or b plus 2 over b plus 2 k ee. So these are very robust observables. And there have been several measurements now. You see here the r d star plane versus r d. And in particular, the r d star is very well measured. And we have results from Babar, from Bell, from LHCb, and there's a new measurement from Bell, which was presented at Morillon, which is a semileptonic tagging. So they tag usually in fully hadronic events the other side. Here, this is a semileptonic tag, so it's not as pure as the fully hadronic tag, but it has better statistics. And so the HVAC, actually, I looked it up yesterday, so HVAC has done the average, and the overall average of all these experiments, of measurements, is this one here. And it is 3.3 sigma away for RD star from the standard model. And if they combine RD star and RD and do a two-dimensional significance calculation, then they find a p-value which is 4 sigma away. So that's kind of interesting. And for B plus 2K mu mu over B plus 2K ee, we have here this point, which is basically all driven by the LHCb precision here, this little difference, this little effect here. The others, they're not in disagreement, but they don't have the statistical power to compete with this. This is, of course, very interesting to see then Bell 2 coming into the game here. Okay, Di boson, very quickly. I just wanted to flash this. So there are lots of new measurements. They were fantastic. Really many, many new measurements also from for 8 TeV, but also for 13 TeV. They're all in very good agreement. So ZZ and WZ, or ZZ was measured in CMS and 13 TeV, WZ by CMS. Very good agreement within, of course, large uncertainty still. There was a long-standing little problem in the WW8 TeV measurement. The measurements were a bit high, but then there came new theoretical predictions using NNLO and also low, soft gluon resummation. And then the prediction went up. So CMS is actually now spot on the prediction exactly for 8 TeV. Atlas is still a bit higher, it's about 1 sigma, so it's fine. So then this is a measurement for WZ, so precision measurement from Atlas for WZ cross sections in 8 TeV. And here we do actually see significant differences between the prediction and the data. But this prediction is NLO level only. So there has been, I think, at DIS, we have seen an NLO calculation now, fixed order, I think. So this should improve. So I don't think this is any hint of anything really more than actually we need more QCD measurement, more QCD calculations for this. All the other Di boson measurements are in good agreement between data and theory. So the Di boson, represented the Di boson excess which we had, mainly Atlas, also a little bit CMS, around 2 TeV. So both experiments, this was in looking for a resonance going to WZ. WZ decaying hadronically, you had also have semi-leptonic or leptonic decays, which all didn't see any excess at this energy, but the fully hadronic did. There was a bump at around 2 TeV. So these analyses have been done by both Atlas and CMS, 13 TeV, and so there is no hint for an excess in this region. So this is, I think, not yet completely invalidating the 8 TeV result. The power is about similar, but of course it puts it into tension. Okay, so then this was discussed already on Monday, actually also on Tuesday. So we have with Zach, an expert. He's one of the analyzers of this analysis. So any question will be delegated to Zach. So this is an interesting search. Opposite sign, dilepton plus jets plus met, which target the production of gluons with cascade decay. So this cascade here of neutralino 2 going to Z and neutralino 0, for example. And so they have a single signal region, which is given by these cuts here. This is this SRZ. And so they cut on the Z. This analysis cuts on the Z. Same flavor, of course, same flavor, opposite sign leptons. ET miscut, HT cut, number of jet at least 2. And then there is this famous delta phi between jet PT misc to remove badly measured events, basically. And so this removes also QCD and Z plus jets backgrounds. And then you have a lot of control and validation regions. And so then this is being checked. And the background determinations, there is this important flavor symmetric background, which is TT, WW, WT, and Z to tau tau. The biggest one is TT, top top, and WW, 70 to 20%. And so they have a ratio of 1 to 1 to 2 for EE, mu, mu, EE, mu. So this is the way, if you look into EE, mu, you can predict EE and mu, mu. And so this is very nice, of course. And CMS uses exactly the same approach. This is the most important background. And here is actually a scale factor, as we have already said, a scale factor found of 0.66 to normalize the TT bar backgrounds. And so the Monte Carlo prediction doesn't quite work here. So then the Di boson backgrounds, the next biggest background is taken from Monte Carlo simulation using Sharpa 2.11. And the Z plus jets background, where you have a lot of mismeasured missing ET, this is something you want to take from data. So there is a template from gamma plus jets, again, the same as CMS. And because the gamma, the photon mass, of course, different from Z mass, you have to reweigh the PT to get the template correct. And this shows a Monte Carlo closure test where you take the actual Z gamma Monte Carlo and the reweighted gamma plus jets Monte Carlo, and you see this is in very good agreement. So this closure test and the template works. So you have here the validation regions in all these different validation regions where you enhance one of the background components. You see that there is very good agreement between the expected backgrounds and the data. Overall, pretty good agreement. And here's the list of the systematic uncertainties, just to have it on the slides. And the final result was, as we have seen already, 21 observed events. and 10.3 expected event, which is 2.2 sigma. We are not talking about a huge effect. But of course, it is a bit interesting for the Atlas people because there were already 3 sigma excess in this channel in run 1, which is then, if you have it twice, then you get a little bit nice. But of course, we know that CMS didn't see it. So it is. So this 21 events split into E and mu mu in a fairly similar way, which was not exactly the case for run 1. There were more mu mu events than EE. And there was this, which was already discussed, there's a different way to determine the backgrounds. Instead of using the flavor symmetric, you can do a sideband fit. And this has a slightly larger background prediction. You see it's in good agreement because these uncertainties are, of course, completely uncorrelated. So there's no problem. And it wouldn't change the picture dramatically if you used this one instead of this one. Okay, so this is this. Then the plots. This is the plot of the dielectron mass. Of course, the analysis cuts here, so you have this excess here. Then the EMU channel, the flavor symmetric one, so you see here, this is the distribution. And then if you take the signal region, you can plot the other variables, for example, ETMIS or HT. And you see that for ETMIS, certainly it's on the lower side, these events. HT is a bit hard to say. Okay, CMS has done the same. I mean, they have done actually further going analysis. They have looked on Z and off Z. Off Z, of course, they had also an interesting result in run 1, so they were also excited to look at this again in run 2, which the Atlas hadn't seen. So they also have a dedicated Atlas signal region here, where they added this delta phi card, which they usually don't have in the data. So if we look at this, to make things short, the observed event is 12, the expected event is 12. So this is basically not confirming the excess Atlas sees. And these are the spectra here. It's not split into the different background contributions. You have here the Z background, Z gamma star background, but not the other ones. I had the impression, so it's something maybe to look at later, that the peak does look a bit different overall, the form, than in the Atlas case, which I think would be interesting to.
Can we ask, actually, you had almost no Z background, right?
It's small, yes.
And it's covered pretty heavily by the delta phi card,
which they have, of course, as well.
So
it would be very interesting to have the actual contributions here of the various backgrounds.
We were asked for that and we provided it. It was in some slides and it may work its way to the. We can get it, but we have it. It's out there.
You can get it for tonight for at 5.
I thought you had more flavor symmetric background than
we have it. I don't know if we put it on this. So I was talking to Ben Huberman, who asked me for this. So we added it for the talk at LHC Ski. So it's certainly in those slides. In fact, you can bring the slides up. You can see it right now.
Yeah, maybe I finish and then. But yeah, we will check it. We can check it. So then, just for the completeness, one lepton stop. It's a tiny excess here, 2.3 sigma for Atlas in this SR1. So these are the different signal regions, control regions. So it's a normal one lepton analysis with B jets, with more jets, and looking for direct stop production for gluon mediated stop production. And it's a very standard analysis. And this excess in this signal region 1 and 2 is the ones, you know, if you look at the limit plots here. The SR2 is more for these low-mass neutralinos, where you really want to get cut very high to go in this region. The SR1 is a bit more in this region here. And there's the excess, that's why the observed, and we have seen this already, the observed limit is so much worse than the expected limit here. It's a very flat flat region here, so even with the small excess. So you see the yellow band, which is the uncertainty, is very large. So small changes make a big change in the limits. And you see, this we have seen, I think, as well from I think Chris was showing this. So you see the MT is transverse mass distribution of the in this signal region, and the missing ET distribution. Certainly, missing ET is not at all looking signal-like here. The transverse mass may be a little bit more. Okay, so this is a tiny excess, 2.3 sigma, nothing we had before. So, okay, last point, diphotons. So Atlas showed a new preliminary result in Morillon for this, CMS as well. And Frank will show the CMS results. And they're both experiments that work on a paper for this. But these are very close to the final results in any case, which will be shown. So there are two analyses in Atlas, spin 0 and spin 1. Spin 2, sorry, not spin 1. spin 0 and spin 2, and they distinguish themselves by their cuts on the photon ET. So you see here the cosine theta star. So that's the decay angle in the rest frame of the gamma-gamma system. And in the spin 0 case, this is isotropic. So you have flat distribution by if you had full acceptance. And so and then the background peaks more like this. And so what you do is you try to cut here to remove more background. So you cut actually harder on the energy of the photons, transverse energy. So you see 0.4 times n gamma gamma. So it depends on the mass. While for the spin 2 case, you really want to have the full spectrum here. This is like here. You see this is actually data and background Monte Carlo outside of the 750 region. So there's to show you the effects. And so here there's a fixed cut at 55 GeV. And the difference is quite a big. So at around 750 GeV, you have twice as many events in this analysis than you have in this analysis. So it makes a big difference. And so now Atlas looked also into the purity of the photons by doing a data-driven estimate of the gamma jet, jet gamma, and jet jet backgrounds. And you see here the purity measurement. So the different background measurements, actually, as a function of the gamma-gamma diphoton mass in the two analyses, it's always spin 0 left, spin 2 right. And you see overall the purity is about 94% in average. So it's very pure.
There's a question.
Please.
I thought that in the spin 0, there's a photon environment,
but
in the spin 2 analysis,
it's a photon environment. No, the photon isolation environments are exactly the same in both analyses. Yes. Okay. So they're tight. The photons are tight. So then the background modeling is different. In the spin 0 case, it's simply an empirical function. In the spin 2 case, we have a prediction. And the reason for this, to make this clear, is that the spin 2 case, the spin 2 analysis comes, so this analysis comes from the Higgs sector, where you look more at lower masses, and the fit usually works very well. If you go to very high masses, even 3-4 TeV, because you're looking for Kaluza-Klein excitations or extra dimensions, you need really a prediction of the function, because then you don't have any lever arm anymore to determine the function from data. So that's why these two philosophies of predicting the backgrounds, and they're very equivalent, actually. But it's really nice. So at low mass, this is better. At high mass, this is getting better. And what this does here is, because you have gamma jet, you have irreducible backgrounds. So you take the irreducible backgrounds from data, you fit them, and then you put on top of it a Dyfox NLO prediction, which has also fragmentation photons. On top, and then you have, of course, the theoretical uncertainties, which you have to vary. So these are the two. And you see the fit is overall very good in this area. And you see, of course, the bump. Okay, so then cutting on the bump and looking at the various properties of the events, we've looked at the missing ET distribution. You compare always the sideband, so the interesting region is the pink one here. I think it's the pink one. It's the orange one. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's the orange one. The interesting one is the orange, and the others are the lower and the higher sidebands. But in any case, you don't see any significant deviation here or difference. It is interesting maybe to look at the number of jets plot, where the orange one has lower numbers of jets, more events with 0 jets, with enlarged uncertainties, of course.
So what's the signal to background?
It's about 1. What? Signal, I mean.
1 to 1.
Yeah, it's about 1.
1 to 1?
It's about 1, yeah. So S over B is 1.
1 to 1, okay.
I mean, you see it here. Right? It's pretty out there. It's about the same number of events in the peak and in the dropouts. Okay, so the significance you have seen, two-dimensional significances. In the Atlas data, the biggest significance is for 6% width. Narrow width has less significance. You see here, it's the best significance globally is 3.9, and locally 3.9, globally 2. If you take into account, so you run toys over the full bands in width and in mass, and then you measure with this the global significance. which is significantly lower. Okay, and the spin two analysis has slightly less significance here, but not very much. Okay, and then Atlas has also looked at the Z gamma. Of course, then you start thinking about what are the other channels which are interesting. So Z gamma threatened TV was out, and you see here the results for. Sorry, no, this is still the no. Sorry, this is the compatibility test with HTV. Sorry. In the atlas, if you look into the paper of this analysis in 1.1, you would see that it stopped at 600 GeV. So it was, and so it was redone to go further. And the largest, there is a little excess. It's 1.9 sigma, I think, in this. Yes, 1.9 sigma locally. So if you then assume the production of putative resonance through gluon fusion, you have a factor of 4.7 in the energy ratio, or if it's quark annihilation, it's 2.7, and the scaling then gives you a compatibility between run 2 and run 1 of 1.2 sigma, given this, or 2.1 sigma for quarks, for gluons 1.2 and for quarks 2.1. And this is vast because in the spin 2 analysis, we don't see absolutely anything. And so here, the compatibility is vast. It's 2.7 sigma for glu and 3.3 sigma for quark.
By the way, if you go back one slide, one more. So the fact that there's this second thing at 1600, is that just because on the next slide you have that one point there?
No, this is the ATV data. So you have to look back here.
So it's that point there.
And you get it on the left part.
Yeah, you get it here. You get two events.
New physics.
I see. So cool is a fine excitation?
Yeah, people concentrate on 750, but also we want 6.
Okay. Okay. Yes, I know.
Again, the logarithmic effect is huge.
Yes.
Okay, so that's my final slide, actually. So we looked also into Z gamma, Z to dileptron or Z to QQ. So these are the two, this is Z to dileptron, Z to QQ. And 750, I mean, people were thinking, oh, you didn't unblind. Okay, so there's nothing. So then I have just a discussion once, but I think we bring this up at the end. So maybe we go to Frank.
Bring up the ski conference.
Yeah, I tried to.
No, I actually did not put it in there.
You checked?
Yeah, I checked. But I can get it. It's from
you can also read it off the plot. It's 7 flavors of metric, 4 Z.
Yeah, you can read it off the plot, but we have the numbers.
7, 4, and 1.
The numbers are supposed to go in the supplementary material once the paper gets released.
So well,
2 or 3 weeks from now.
Slide.
All right, I'll be pretty brief.
You should use the microphone. You guys should.
Oh, yes. I didn't even hear what was wrong.
All right, I'll be pretty brief, sort of summarizing some of the excesses that. Andreas didn't, and keep make the overview to a minimum, and then lots of backup on the various searches if there's interest in discussion of them. So summary of some of the anomalies that remained on CMS. So there's an excess in the Higgs to tau mu spectrum. CMS sees a 2.5-ish sigma excess. Atlas doesn't really see anything significant. It's about 1 sigma and no excess from either experiment in E tau. And then, of course, there's the diphotons that Andreas just went through in some detail. There's, interestingly, an excess seen by both experiments from ATV and TT Higgs, both in the same sign and multi-lepton channels, but not in the other final states for the Higgs decays. And then Also in TTV, where the TTW is high for both experiments in the same sign, while the TTZ actually agrees pretty well with the standard model prediction. And actually, these tie in with more generally an excess that I think Ian will probably tell us more about in same sign and multi-lepton plus BTAG channels. So both CMS and Atlas see it in their SUSY, Exotica, and B2G analyses, which perhaps isn't too surprising. They all have regions that overlap with fairly similar selections, and they kind of confirm each other with having a couple sigma-ish excess. And then there are a few others that maybe have gotten less discussion. There's multi-lepton excess in SUSY searches that require at least one hadronic tau, and a small excess in a razor search looking at tagging Higgs to gamma-gamma events in cascade decays. Of course, some others have gone away. Andreas mentioned that the WW cross-section that was with us for a while that's now understood. There was an interesting, although I don't know if the details of it were ever really shown publicly before, same-sign charge asymmetry a couple of years ago that I have a little bit more in the backup of it if people are interested. But we saw, I think at one point, 12 minus-minus events in 1++, but that disappeared over the course of the 2012 running. And then, of course, the Dive boson resonances, which you mentioned, that are maybe going away, maybe not. We'll see. The shears, so a few just details to then highlight the overview. So this is the excess you see here in the CMS Higgs to tau mu, and you can see the various channels, both mu hadronic tau and mu tau decaying to electrons. The excess appears fairly uniformly in all of them, a bit higher in a couple of the two jet tau had and the zero jet tau e. Overall, though, it's 2.4 sigma, but nothing very spectacular in any individual channel. So for Atlas, you can see the equivalent results here. So they released, showed at Moriand the addition of the mu to tau e results, and the combination of them now sits within about one sigma of the expected. Yes?
Can you go back to the slide? There are all these peaking backgrounds, and the light purple is the mis-ID tau e mu.
That's right.
At the bottom, and there isn't an uncertainty shown with that, right?
There is, you just can't make out very well the uncertainty band if you...
Total uncertainty?
Yeah. Total uncertainty. Yeah, you can see the effect of the total uncertainty more clearly on the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk more about the tau background if you want. So Atlas. So moving diphotons, just as Andreas mentioned, CMS gave an update at Moriand. So this included a few changes, updates to the channel calibration for the eCal based on 2015 data. This the improved calibration gave about a 30% improvement in mass resolution and an overall improvement in sensitivity of about 10%. And then there was the addition of course, our zero Tesla data, which was about a 25% increase in luminosity, a bit over a half an imperceptibar. And this also was a 10% improvement in sensitivity. And this came with many challenges we can discuss more if people are interested, but it involved sort of retuning isolation, vertex assignment, shower profile selection, all of this. And in the end, we achieved pretty good sensitivity with the zero Tesla data as well compared to with the B field. And then, just as Andreas mentioned, separate searches for spin 0-2 narrow and wide width scenarios, and the having a dedicated spin 0-2 search versus the just the single search we showed at the Jamboree is another 20 to 40% improvement overall.
Sorry, was the search changed much, or was it just different signal injection?
The
0-2, I wasn't aware that the cuts... The
cuts didn't change very much.
Didn't change, no, it's just injecting a different signal.
It's fixed cuts.
Yeah.
sorry, can you repeat the comment? What's
the... Yes, did the cuts actually change, or was it just a different signal model injected? And so the cuts are the same, but... So the diphoton and variant mass spectra here for the... both for the barrel-barrel pairs on the left, the combination. On the left is the 13 TV with B field. See the slight bump, and then and the zero Tesla as well. You can sort of see a few events sticking up extra if you squint enough, Jeff. But okay, the combination of everything from 13 TV you see here on the right, and okay, here it's a bit more than two sigma now, standing out from all of it.
Do you know how well you know the resolution?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Used to be 50% out there. It's still very large because it's hard to calibrate it.
Yeah.
Uncertainty on the resolution.
So this helps actually the Kelsfer effect in addition because you have a floating resolution parameter which can fit according to the data.
So what's the number then?
30%.
I don't remember for sure what the number is.
The resolution is 60%.
Resolution on the scale or the resolution?
No, on the mass. So
it's tied to the Z peak, and there is a transfer part. And then there's some uncertainty.
Yeah, it's about 1% for the mass resolution, but I don't know what the width resolution is.
Yeah, so the uncertain.
All I can tell you is that I remember watching the approval and thinking that it was way small.
the energy scale is less than 1%, is what they said. Yeah, but I don't know what the uncertainty on the resolution determination is. We also did, as you mentioned, narrow and wide width, and there's a slight preference for narrow, but compatible with either. So another thing to wait and see. And then we also looked at.
Just one question on the light. Obviously, it's not as significant, but the fluctuation of 500, is there any similar fluctuations in other data sets, or is this just a one?
So, this is the other one, I guess, to look at the zeta LL gamma, which would be one we'd have. And you can see here both the EE gamma and the mu mu gamma, and okay, for 500. Nothing, and there's really nothing above 500. We're running out of statistics by 500. So, and for ZZ and WW, I don't recall for sure, but I don't think I have them in because we
don't.
And Atlas don't
have, I can't remember.
Atlas, I don't recall having a bumper on 500 either, do you? In Gamma Gamma, I think it was pointing out this bit above 500, two sigma-ish excess that we have in.
The 1600 GV pair at Atlas.
Nothing. Okay, so moving past, I guess the only thing I can say is, so there's also QQ gamma and gamma plus meta versions of this that should become available. It was posted recently to the public pages. Okay, so then an excess of leptons and B quarks. So this list actually comes from work of Ian and Carlos, and it seemed that it didn't matter where you looked, there was always an excess of same sign dileptons, B tag jets and met. So this is a summary of all the various places they found it in our ATV results. So CMS and Atlas, same sign dileptons, SUSY searches. Also in this, both the CMS and Atlas TTH Higgs analyses, in Atlas Exotica searches, and a bit in CMS Exotica searches as well, and then in the TTW measurements, and sort of So it's sort of a commonality between all these, right? You have final states with two or more, with multiple W's in them and multiple B quarks. They all look in different data sets, employ somewhat different selections, different background estimation methods, but all also dealing with the same backgrounds, combination of lepton misidentification from jets as well as charge mismeasurement and rare, sort of rare meaning standard model processes that give genuine same sign pairs. And I've put together some discussion in the backup interest that's sort of going over all the different methods used to do these, but ultimately the two experiments and then the different searches within them don't really approach the background estimates that differently. And okay, maybe that we all see an excess looking in the same place is confirmation that we're doing something right, that we all look in the same place and see the same thing. Now, of course, there's already results related to this from the 13 TEV data. So there's the CMS TTH preliminary results. Okay, they find no overall excess in the same sign, but they do see one in the multi-lepton plus Bs with 28 observed compared to 16 expected. So maybe something to keep an eye on. There's a search from CMS looking for charge 5/3 colored object pair production. So it's a two top, two W final state. They actually find an overall deficit. So no excess there. CMS SUSY same sign search doesn't find any evidence for an excess this time around. The Atlas same sign SUSY search, okay, very slight excess if it even deserves that word, with 8 observed compared to 5 expected. Perhaps the only thing that really sticks out from the 13 TEV results related to same sign is the Atlas TTW analysis, which actually finds a cross-section about 2.5 times the expected, which is about the same place that both experiments were seeing the results for 8 TEV. So no striking confirmation of the run one excesses, but not really able to rule them out yet. Ian can tell us if we should give up or if we should keep hoping to see something here. So then last I'll just mention briefly about one of the excesses that maybe hasn't gotten as much discussion. An excess in the CMS multi-lepton SUSY search from ATV. So this is actually just a third or a quarter of all the signal regions in the analysis. So it's one small subset of them. And here we're looking at events with at least 4 leptons. And if you kind of can get through the haze of, if you look at this column where there's at least 1 hadronic tau and no B tags, in the low HT area, so HT less than 200, you start to notice that, okay, there's if I look in the OV-Z category, I have 3 observed compared to 0.6 expected, 4 compared to 2, and 15 compared to about 7.5. So if you add all these up, you end up seeing about 22 observed and a little over 10 expected. So similar size excess to one of the ones that Andreas showed, and it stands out a little more if you actually plot the MET spectrum that goes with this. So this is 4 leptons, 1 pair of opposite sign, same flavor, whose mass is not consistent with the Z, 1 hadronic tau, no Bs, low HT, and you can see the excess kind of is everywhere in MET. Quite a few things. I mean, you may suspect the hadronic tau, the fake hadronic tau background is being mismodeled, but there's many other regions with much higher statistics where it actually looks very dead on. So I think another thing that we just wait and see for the coming year. Okay, that's the quick big picture overview of the excess the CMS has that Andreas didn't already touch on. Maybe we let Ian go to give the theory perspective, and then we can discuss these more.
Okay, so I'm supposed to give you some theorist perspective, and I have two disclaimers before I start. First of all, this is not going to be fair and balanced. If your favorite anomalies didn't get discussed here, my apologies. And the second disclaimer has to do with, you know, what's the difference between an experimentalist and a theorist? An experimentalist will find 1,000 reasons to convince you an axis does not exist. So what about a theorist? The theory will just ignore the experimentalist. And my point is that, you know, having sat through all these talks in the last couple of days, I figure we need a more uplifting voice, you know, just to move more real, you know, so that, you know, we don't have to go into group counseling. Okay. So anyway, yesterday, you know, Katie mentioned that, you know, Susie is the almighty signature generator. I think we all agree on that. You know, pretty much any signatures you like, you can generate it within Susie. But on the other hand, Howie from last Monday also mentioned Susie remains a favorite candidate, but if and when new physics is discovered, avoid the temptation to drive a square peg into a round hole. So this is the square peg into a round hole. And in my mind, the million-dollar question is Susie the hole or the peg? Okay, we have to find. So you will see this picture throughout some of my slides, but that just to remind you again the question, you know, are we driving a square peg into a round hole? So Andreas mentioned that there are several interesting anomalies in flavor sector, and Stefania did a very good job on Monday, okay? And she listed all these list of anomalies in the flavor sector, but she also mentioned that in all generality, these anomalies, it's hard to accommodate these anomalies within the minimum version of Susie, okay? So therefore, this picture. And one interesting anomaly in the flavor sector, which I find that has not been discussed so far, has to do with the measurement of VUB. It turns out that there is a nagging, roughly by now, 3 sigma mismatch between inclusive and exclusive measurements of VUB, just from the standard model. Okay. So here is a slide I stole somewhere. So here is a summary of the VUB from the exclusive measurement versus inclusive measurement. You see that over the year, the gap widened. Okay, so even the RCB made a new measurement using the exclusive mode just recently, 1503. And again, you can see that compared from the PDG average from the inclusive channel, things don't seem to match. Okay. And again, I'm not aware of any theory works either in Susie or outside of Susie trying to reconcile this mismatch between the inclusive and exclusive measurement of VUB. And obviously, this is one of the side of the CKM triangle. This is an important measurement to do. Okay, but what is it? I don't know. You can say it's a statistics, but this mismatch seems very persistent. No, when you keep doing,
being wrong.
I'm sorry.
It's a theorist being wrong.
It could be. So there are some theories. Indeed, there are different assumptions that go into inclusive measurement and exclusive measurement. Okay, but again, my point is that at least I'm not aware of any theory interpretation trying to reconcile this mismatch.
Which
okay.
one? Sorry. Which one is consistent with the angles?
Both are wrong.
Well, I think the CKM fixture just averaged the two somehow and then just plot the angle. That's my understanding, but I could be wrong.
Okay. One should be more consistent with science.
I'm sorry?
One of these should be more consistent with science.
That's a good question. The other subtlety is that I think there is some lattice calculation involved in this. So I think it's not that easy to assign the blame which theories screwed up. Okay. But anyway, it's something to keep in mind. This is
one more item on the flavor anomaly. And the king of the anomaly is, of course, the 750 GeV digamma resonance. And Nathaniel did a very good job last Monday, but I know most of you are not here, but I see no need to create new slides, so I'm just recycling these slides, okay? So the minimum model is to treat the 750 digamma resonance as a scalar that is produced from the gluon fusion that decays to two gammas. And to do this, you need a loop inducer, a coupling to the two gluon and two gammas. And this cannot be the center model top because that would imply this scalar would decay to two tops and that would swamp the diphoton, digamma branching ratio. Therefore, we need new matter charge under center model heavier than 375 GeV so that the 750 GeV digamma resonance does not decay into these loop particles. So that's sort of the minimum model. Okay. And Nathaniel also summarized that within SUSY, they have three attempts to try accommodate the 750 GeV digamma resonance. And again, you know, it's not obvious out of the box, but you know, it requires some work. Okay, and so that's why again, are we fitting the peg into the round hole? I don't know, but that's sort of the status. And one thing I want to sort of throw out there, since I see people are falling asleep, is to make something provocative. That is, I want to ask, you know, this is the CM address data and the background for the diphoton resonance. Here, this red curve is what Atlas got, you know, and this was validated by DiFox, etc. So my question is that, is there enough room to squeeze in a bump plus something else? For example, a bump plus a tail. Okay, and you can ask, you know, I don't know any other study, and whether the difference between background, a tail, and a resonance. I'm sure, you know, this is a fit that probably somewhere between a pure bump and a pure background. But then, is the difference meaningful, statistically speaking? I don't know.
But wouldn't you see the tail as a preference for initial parameter in the functional fit case?
Yes.
But they don't find any preference for that.
Actually, I have a slide, I took it up. In fact, if you do their fit, and you change your hypothesis saying that you are looking for a bump in the tail, and this will not be right here. But on the other hand, you can argue that this is you know, this is validated with DiFox. So
that tail is inconsistent with the data.
Exactly.
Because the data has empty bins. So that tail is ruled out.
You need 10 more events.
Yes, but statistically speaking, you know, it's ruled out to what extent? That's all I'm saying.
Isn't the red
is also ruled out, yes.
But wait a second, isn't the red plot just a fit to the data points?
Yes.
Some ad hoc function, so you're gonna any tail you would take it into the red curve, right?
You need to be pretty close.
I mean, the red curve goes through the data.
By definition.
You're like 30 or 40 events short there.
I'm sorry?
Like 30 events short for the blue.
Right, it's totally inconsistent.
30 events short? Where? Which way is it?
Integrate from 800 up, the two curves, and you're short.
But you like it happens to go through some of the dots on the plot. That's forgotten
only. I'm not saying you literally take this curve. All I'm saying is there enough room to squeeze into some tail? In fact, I drew this just by my hand. You know, you shouldn't. All I'm saying is that what you are looking for depends on your hypothesis. So if you're looking for a bump, versus you're looking for a bump versus a tail, then you would define your control region differently. That's all I'm saying.
But in order to find a tail, you need a model of the background. The model of the background is the data, right?
But that's what I'm saying. So if there is a theory-based simulation for the background, then that would sort of take.
Well, there is for the spin too, as Andreas showed you.
Exactly. Andreas showed. Okay. See, so people woke up, right? So.
That's exactly my point.
All right, this is asking what is just no pun, just a fair. And by the way, there is something very strange or very interesting about this digamma resonance. It turns out that the ancient Greeks actually predicted that this digamma resonance. Does anybody know? If you look at this word digamma, it's an ancient Greek letter, alphabet. It's a symbol for F. And literally, in LaTeX, if you do slash digamma, it gives you this symbol F.
Was it also called stigma?
Hold on. And then, if you look it up, the meaning of this digamma is number 6. So why is this number 6 so useful? Why do I say that the Greek predicted this digamma resonance? Something to think about. So anyway, so Frank alluded to that. I think that there is a less known now research in 34 events containing a multi-lepton, either same side 2-lepton or 3-lepton plus BJ plus MET. And there's a total of 7 round 1 analysis that saw excesses in this channel. And this is a list that Frank already showed. Okay. And then Frank also asked, you know, what do we see at round 2? So I'm going to stick my neck out there. So this is a summary plot of what we see in round 1 and round 2. Okay. Look at the left plot is a certain amount of TTW measurement in the multi-lepton channel. Coming at 8 TV, there are 2 atlas measurements, and there's an atlas measurement from 13 TV. And then there is a summary of the TV bar multi-lepton channel coming from run 1 and run 2. Run 1 is atlas 4 lepton, 3 lepton, and same time 2 lepton CMS, and CMS 3 lepton, 2 lepton. And this is the summary. And I say that I am sticking my neck out because I did an official combination of the TT bar channel from in both run and run 2, and this is what I got. Okay, it's small, but it's fair to say that first of all, run 1 is seen by Atlas and CMS, and run 2 is seen by Atlas, which has, I don't know, 50% more good data than CMS. Not to put down you guys. But yeah. So, but anyway, this is the summary plot. Okay. So, if I want to take this seriously and compare to other anomalies, it turns out that I can just broadly characterize this multi-lepton excess as 2-top plus 2W plus X. Okay, this X could be X from MET, or could be an additional visible or soft particles. And it turns out this is a case where it's relatively easy to fit the pack into the hole. Okay? For example, you know, in SUSY, we have sputum search going to exactly this final state. Sputum going to top plus charging or going to W plus LSP. So this is 2-top, 2W plus MET. Okay? And this is the CMS run 1 search. You see that the expected limit is slightly less than the observed limit is slightly worse than the expected limit because there is a small excess, but there is no p-value given. And this is the CMS run 2, and as Frank already alluded to that, the CMS at the run 2 saw a deficit in the same side lepton channel. Although there is an excess in the 3-lepton channel, but the limit for the sputum from run 2 is comparable to the limit from the sputum search in run 1. Okay? And moreover, at run 1, the SUSY working group from CMS had the 3-lepton search, which saw a huge deficit because the observed limit is much stronger than the expected limit. So I don't know what to make of this because, of course, I know what to make of this in my mind. But all I'm trying to say is that this particular SUSY 3-lepton search saw a huge deficit, while the CMS TD bar 3-lepton search still saw an excess. Okay? So maybe, and of course, they have a slightly different cut. So maybe that's telling you that the excess is sitting in a particular corner of the phase space. I don't know. Okay. However, I do want to mention that this is a CMS. This is a preliminary result, and it never made into a publication. I don't know what so what does that mean.
It was published, but under a different interpretation. So the data is published. The interpretation is not.
Okay.
It was merged with another paper into it's part of the STOP 2 search that has.
I think Ben Huberman told me that, but maybe I should go back to look at that because I couldn't make anything. But it's certainly not within the SPARTAM search.
Right. You should be able to find the yields published, but not the interpretation. Published.
Right. But all I'm saying, but within the context of SPARTAM search,
yes.
I would like to see interpretation like this in this three level. Okay.
But there it is. Just.
Yes, that's why I have to take it seriously. I'm not throwing away this search. But all I'm saying is that obviously if you make the RSP mass a little bit heavier, then this limit goes away.
All you need is 250 GeV.
Okay. So then, you know, it's very easy to just to come up with a spotting scenario, just 550 GeV going to charging, or 340 going to RSP at 260. And this is this is not excluded by the run-once bottom search. And I show you the run-to's bottom search limit is the same as run-once. So this is not excluded by the run-to's bottom search either. Okay. And so this gives an overall fit in the TD bar Higgs channel of roughly 2.8. Right. Then, of course, within the realistic model of MSSM, it's hard to make this particular decay branching for 100% because there's a spotting going to bottom plus RSP. Okay, so it turned out that in the end, the more quote-unquote realistic scenario to consider a right-handed stop at 550 GeV. Of course, you're going to scream at me that 550 GeV stop is ruled out, but not in this particular case. I will try to convince you. But if you have a right-handed stop at 550 GeV, a pure B-note for the second largest neutrino sitting at 340, and the pure Reno sitting at 260 GeV, and these are degenerate, roughly degenerate with very small mass splitting. Okay, then what happens is you could have a stop right decay to top plus Reno because it's mostly right-handed, so it can only go to Reno. That's why it doesn't go to the Reno direction. Okay. So you go to top plus Pino, then Pino going to W plus or W minus, then go to Chargino. Then Chargino decays to RSP plus some soft stuff because the mass difference is very small.
Can you really achieve?
I'm sorry?
Can you really achieve pure Venus and Pino this
one? Of course, you mean, of course, the point is that the most of the mixture, you know, you need to have a small mixing. So we have a model file that can give you almost 100% decay branching for this particular. Okay, so in the end, you know, you can do this now with spotting. You can also do it with a stop, and that's what you get. And moreover, there is a very striking signature for this particular decay topology for stop, because this W here could be either W plus or W minus. Okay, so that means you could have a striking same sign three lepton signature plus BJ plus MET. And as far as I know, there has been no searches for same sign, three lepton plus BJ plus MET. And I imagine that the background to this will be very, very small from the cinema.
There is, right? No, we looked at the multi-lepton people, didn't they publish this? They don't have any original, which is 3% charge.
Ah.
How about like
TT bar ZZ? I'm sorry?
TT bar ZZ.
TT bar ZZ.
In the sense that can K2 go directly to K1 emitting a C?
K2 going to K1?
Or not?
No, the mass difference is on ADGV.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah.
So that's why we choose this mass difference to suppress tactical going to Z or Higgs.
Okay, so
yeah, that's the whole point, yes.
To squeeze.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
But you need 100% branching fraction?
We have a realistic branching fraction, and given that realistic branching fraction, this is the signal fit to the TD bar Higgs, roughly 2.8.
And your mu at that point is?
So just to, as I say, you know, at this point, you know, let's fit the.
So there will, I mean, there will be a virtual Z that's almost on shelf, but not quite.
Right.
And yes, there's some suppression, but it may not be as much as you think.
Yes, and if this continues, these are all the things that we need to study further.
Well, I mean, so obviously, I know the rules are. There's not a public analysis, it didn't happen, but I would presume that enterprising multi-lepton experimentalists have asked the question, do I have big excesses in my 3D
yes. time? Very good, yes. So yes, we're all friends within CMS and Atlas, so we know that people have looked at the same sign 3 lepton and they are not public and they didn't see anything. But on the other hand, at the same time, we also checked. That given this benchmark, can we see the same sign 3 lepton at this stage? The answer is no, because the decay branching is just too small. But all I'm saying is that going forward.
So, how many events do you expect?
How many what?
Events do you expect for the given mass?
We are normalizing to the standard model TD bar Higgs signal strength. So, whatever the standard model TD bar Higgs, and this is the signal strength, total signal strength.
But sorry, no. I mean, unfortunately, I have no internet, so I cannot check. But so we checked. I mean, the Atlas analysis in run one that is looking. I even think that we generated these samples because there was a paper at some point that was discussing. I mean, there were several different signatures. We are not sensitive yet to those. In run one, we were not sensitive above 500 GV or something like that. So that's why, for example, these points had not been analyzed. But
yes.
I mean, those kind of signals are, I mean, under the radar of any same sign 3 lepton plus jets
yes.
analysis.
Like so I said, several. So my point is going forward.
Yeah.
With the hadronic decays as well. So
well, it depends. So you have same sign, and then.
Actually, just it's quite interesting because Jeff asked me Monday, I think, about the PMSM. These light stuffs, which you're not excluding, and so I was just this morning looking at those, and I get them up. The lightest one actually looks quite a lot like this, except instead of the Beano, it's a Higgs Beano, and they are somewhat lighter.
No, but if it's a Higgs signal, then the hypothesis that
then you don't get 100% to top.
Then if the Higgs signal comes down to 340, then it's all gooey. Then the splitting, so the thing that splits the Reno multiple is bringing the Higgs signals. That's why the Higgs signal is in the first spot. If the Higgs signal is at 340, the intrinsic splitting and all these things, just from the electroweak symmetry breaking, let's say, is large enough that this soft bottom part of the spectrum is done.
Let me make sure I understood why you get both charged W's. This means the chi to zero.
Right.
You could get
W plus and plus W triddle. Sorry, W plus and W minus triddle, or W minus W plus triddle. It could go either sign. So there is a chance to get three same sign W, or four same sign W. But with a smaller branching.
You can get three.
And your traction was not long-lived at the presentation. Right? Your traction was not long-lived. Right, so there is a disappearing charge track constraint. And so we check at least within this numerical code, the mass difference is like 400 MeV, so that's totally.
And why would this not be ruled out by your usual stop searches?
No, because they never look for this decay morphos stop.
No, forget that. The normal stop search with grid equals 4 jets, 1 lepton. it's because the 260 GB on the
X-speed. Right.
So because the cost ends up at 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might be out of luck with the 15 meters on there, because the...
It's gonna
kill my gap. Okay. That's why I show that the spot operation from 13, at least right now, is comparable to 8. If it's much stronger than this could be.
So this is an argument that we've along lines that we have not touched half of the space in the triangle of sorts for the stop up to where our mass ends, because all of the top half of the triangle is unexplored. It's that kind of argument.
Yeah. But you have many more electrons than the enormous objects. You have other handles.
Yes.
But I still don't understand that thing, sorry. I mean, since you are putting this in correlation with the possible discrepancies that there are in same sign class jets, etc. So I think Andreas was asking before. So what is the number of events that you would expect with a similar same sign class jet selection for this kind of models?
That's why I said, okay, I have to put the blame on you guys, because in the SUSY searches, you never give us a best fit signal strength.
A what?
You never give us a best fit signal strength. The only group that would give us best fit signal strength is Higgs working group, because the Higgs is there.
Fine,
but she's asking me how do I compare this with your SUSY search. My answer is I cannot. The best thing I can compare with is a standard model TV bar Higgs.
No, we gave a limit. So that means the cross-section of them. Event rate was less than so far. So the question is that number, how does that number compare with your number? If your number is six times that, you're dead.
We give you upper limits on the number of observed
events
that could be from DSM.
Yes.
Right. It's directly convertible to me.
That's correct.
Fair enough. What I'm saying is what we chose to do is not to compare with the SUSY search, but to compare with the Higgs working group TD bar Higgs search.
Okay.
But
probably somewhere.
And this is the signal strength we got from the comparing with the cinema TD by Higgs. That's what I'm saying.
Can you provide us some data?
You can ask me why I don't compare with TD by W, why don't I compare with SUSY, why don't I compare with the Exotica search? Yes, but.
But you have more
research.
Yeah.
Given the fact that you're comparing with the processor, which is a different processor, you probably have somewhere sigma times branching ratio for this channel.
It's not excluded because.
I think that what they are asking is just what's the value in femtobar of sigma times branching ratio, right?
Yeah.
And
very good. Very good. The sigma times branching ratio is the pair production of the stops or spot of 550 GB.
I mean, is it a femtobar? What is it?
Well, it's saying that just pick up the processional stop.
Right, it's the processional spot on 550 GeV. Just look it up. REC SUSY working group.
Right.
I think it's normal that we try to understand. So of course, if you compare with the TTH search, I mean, I cannot use the efficiency, for example, that we release for the SUSY analysis. This
right.
I cannot judge.
Right.
So, but if, for example, I mean, if this one could see with a selection for which we know the
okay, efficiency. Okay, so let me just, in this regard, I think that there are two answers to this question. First of all, the other spot-on search also see a small excess from run one with a p-value of like 0.07.
Exactly.
Then your question is, can this model fit that excess within that context?
That's what I was trying to say.
We did this not for the spottom, but we did this for a fermionic b-prime.
Okay.
And the answer is yes, it can be accommodated.
Before
the cuts.
Of course.
You have to convert the branching ratio.
Yeah,
of course,
yes.
You have to convert the branching ratio.
Yeah, of course, yes.
You have to convert the branching ratio.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yes.
You have to convert the branching ratio.
Sometimes you get the numbers out at least.
He made the calculation.
For a key, without any efficiency.
Yeah. Well, then we have no coverage.
Okay. Four at 13 TAB, the penetration goes away. Yes.
So this is exactly. 300
Before the branching.
Yeah, before the 100% price.
13 TAB.
I get 3/5 of 1/300.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Times.
A fifth times the fifth times the fifth. Where do you get the fifth from? Oh, I see. So you're saying for the
3 exactly. Yeah. By the end,
15.
But then it's also lower in the emissivity. I mean, you have to go lower in the emissivity because I think that the emissivity is. So Gloria says SR1B.
All right. So Andrea said that we should continue. So I only have a.
You say you have a data.
Hi, what?
Yes,
we do.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, can you send it?
Maybe a couple of people want that.
Sure.
I think it would be fun to run it.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's validation.
Yeah, sure.
7 events.
Okay.
I shouldn't allow to tell you the result.
4 times 7.
we have 7.
All right, so one remaining point I want to make about this access is that it's very versatile. I fit it with a bottom-like object with charge 1/3. I fit it with a top-like object with charge 2/3. In fact, I can also fit it with an exotic charge particle like charge 5/3. Particle, which is 5/3 going to top plus W plus. Then the electric charge add up to, okay? So then it can do it there. And however, here I just want to mention that there is a big hole, gapping hole, between the searches for the SUSY working group and the searches from the Exotica working group. Because the SUSY working group looked for squats decaying to center model particle plus LSP, MET. The Exotica working group looking for vector-like quarks, they only look for vector-like quarks going to standard model particles. So here I have a scenario where it's a vector-like quark going to standard model particle plus MET. And the kinematics are very different.
But the rate is so much bigger than the scale.
So you're comparing the same cross section, say, a 550 GeV scalar cross section might correspond to an 800 GeV fermion cross section. That's fine, but so what?
So I guess my point is, if you look at the vector-like quark without MET searches and the SUSY searches with MET, they have comparable mass reach because in one case, low cross section with MET, in the other case, no MET, no cross section. So if you live in the intersection where you get cross section and MET, the general expectation is the mass scale is much better. So is it useful for us to agitate for that?
I would say my argument would be that these searches, the limit would sit somewhere between these two. Because it's just the kinematics are different. Just to show you this.
No, so we did the expressway for half a year, but the efficiencies don't change dramatically.
Yes, in fact, that's how we reuse any bound we get. We have to reuse the bound from the squat search.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm just showing you that there is some difference in the kinematics. So precisely where that number sits, I don't know. Yes, so maybe you can educate.
Sorry, so I'm a little bit lost. Where am I supposed to see the kinematic difference between SUSY and the vector-like quarks? What's the best example of how big this kinematic difference is?
There it is. So this is the leading PT of the jet. Okay, the red is coming from the top bottom part. And the green is from the star. And the black is from cinema TDH. here is a mat distribution given a benchmark, and this is coming from the fermionic of B prime, and this is blue is from the stop, and black is the sigma TDH. And there is some kind of ST or HT distribution.
So
what do you mean same amount of mat?
For the
scale of particles. Are you asking whether the mat particles have the same mass? Is that what you're asking? In this particular case, I don't believe they have the same mass.
And this is why it gets different distribution, because if you have the same setup, just as changing the spin, it's
not even the same final state, right? Your final state is T plus W plus N, right?
Right.
Okay, so it's not even the same
final state. No, this is the same that the stop decay more into T W plus.
For your stop.
Right.
Then
I don't know how to do the comparison.
This looks harder for the in between. Is the red the scenario in between you're referring to?
Yes.
All the spectra are harder. Isn't it easier? Are the exclusions better?
Compared to the scalar case.
This is a cross section.
But the cross section is a question of mass.
But yeah, the masses are not the same, meaning that your chi 5/3 is not the same mass as the stop. And the WH is not the same mass as the
energy. Yes,
yes. But it doesn't matter. What matters is if you're in the phase space of the stop.
Exactly. So that's the point I want to make. If you fix everything at the same cross section, hold on, let me. If you fix everything at the same cross section, the fermion would have a harder, heavier mass, and therefore the decay would have a harder spectrum. That's just a general rule of thumb.
But you have the cuts that they're applying, so you can compute the ratio of the efficiencies between the stop and your case. At this level, any efficiencies on the left hand is basically zero because everything is relatively hard, if you can see from there.
Right.
And so.
And let,
what's the.
I mean, yes, let, you, let me. That, that's why I show you this other plot. Okay, this part is charge 5/3 decay into a final state with dark matter and without dark. But the overall mass scale is the same. The X 5/3 is always 950 GeV. Okay, and this distribution of leading jet PT and leading that on PT.
Okay.
And you see that's the difference. Yes, so the search with a dark matter is fit lower.
So we are overlapping with the Z gamma.
Okay.
So, but anyway, so that's where I could stop.
What I was saying is that they can still on the dark matter model with the information that they provide.
Yes, so what you are saying is true for any holes in the searches. You can always do anything as a theory's perspective, just run your own simulation, do your own cut, then why do we need the experiments?
To do the analysis and provide the results.
Yes. But right? Anyway, so at least I got everybody to wake up.
I have a maybe less kind of a boring question. Can you look at what the theoretical uncertainties are on TTW?
Yes.
Can we calculate that better and take this 50% and we just kind of pull out?
Right, right. So from
it's
these...
It's not 50% anymore. It's like 10%.
Okay.
I don't know Monte Carlo is what they're claiming.
But that is kind of the common thing in all of this in terms of...
So here's the theory uncertainty in the TTW. This is NLO plus Parton Shower. So John Campbell did the NLO calculation many years ago. So I asked him, can you improve on the TTW calculation? And he thought about it for 5 seconds, and then he said it's very hard.
But isn't this in many ways a measurement of TTW, where if you were to just go out and try to measure this?
Yes, so you are saying that, yes, because TTW is the background in all these other multi-level sources. So it depends on where you assign the source of blank. You can assign the source of blank to TTW, then every access you see in the multi-level is coming from its modeling TTW. Yes. And in fact, I even know that there are people working on producing a new TTW from the new strong dynamics. But yes, that's a possibility. Okay. It depends on where you assign the plane.
Well, you said how we try to find 1,000 ways. If there's one good one, then this seems like it's one good one.
Yes, I totally agree. So that's why I went to John Campbell and asked him, can you improve on the TTW? But you see that the theory uncertainty here is really just 10%.
Yes, but then the thing is, this is really the bulk of the measurement, right? So this is the fixed order. So in fixed order, you get 10%. Then you need to generate this, so you move this to your X space. And then that's where you actually achieve. So you're not at 10% in 2.
Yes.
No. So it doesn't help you necessarily to get an NLO calculation and generate.
So just a time out. There was a
I'm done.
There was a meeting discussed.